Welcome to Natcast. This is episode 159, Do Not Want. I'm Shiva.
I'm Savrin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
Yay, full power. Oh, goodness me.
Wonder triplet powers activate.
Form of adult podcast.
iPod appears. Bloop.
Yep. Coming in yours once again for the 159th episode of this electronic travesty.
That sounds like a great name for a band.
Yes.
Hi. Hello, Chicago. We're Electronic Travesty.
You know, I have
now
to
say... Now here's our new song, Murdering Kittens with an Iron.
Oh. Yeah. That's probably a song, too.
Necrophiliac flesh gorge, you know.
Stuff like that.
They stole that shit from Cradle of Filth.
Yep. Yeah, it's 11-11-11, and you had to pry me away from the Skyrim. Not really. Though I have been enjoying the hell out of that.
Is that having your ass eaten by Rainbow Dash? The Skyrim.
Actually, somebody else made a joke like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just had to have the tie-in there for you. Yeah,
you did. It's Molestia, actually.
He's like, okay. Thank you, Fuzz.
Thank you for that mental image.
Yeah, that's not my thing. Just so... Oh, fuck. It's like... Dear Princess, what's all this Skyrimming stuff people are talking about? I don't even know.
Oh, God. At least it's not explicit. It's
of
just,
course not.
It's just wrong.
It's punny and wrong and... Oh, internet. Yes, Skyrim. I will fusrodaw you off a cliff. You go flying.
Mm.
But yeah, there's a certain satisfaction to, you know... Playing that game, sniping bunnies with a crossbow. And,
oh, really?
Well, regular bow and hitting elk with baseball bats.
Huh.
Do the elks hit back? Are
yeah.
Get mad if you hit them?
And then, you know, pissing off giants and getting knocked into the stratosphere.
Well, what I saw, the graphics, it looked like a, you know, a pretty game.
It's very, very pretty, and yeah. I can run it on Ultra, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good time for gaming right now. All these AAA titles coming out right after another.
Mm-hmm.
You got Skyrim, and then you got Tuesday, you've got like...
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Assassin's Creed Revelations, and Saints Row the Third, Dildo Baseball Bats Ahoy. I'm not kidding either.
I'm gonna forget you
Dildo
said that.
What?
It's giant purple... baseball bat sized dongs called the Penetrator.
I heard about what game is this again?
Saints Row the Third. Mm. It's Grand Theft Auto on crack.
Oh, somebody was talking about that the other day. It's like GTA but silly.
Yeah,
like
it's
there's crazy
silly
shit
GTA.
In it. Yeah,
and what do you know? It's actually a bit more fun than 4 probably will it was.
Mm.
I played GTA 4, but yeah, they one of the gaming websites they read, Destructoid, got a Penetrator in the mail.
Really?
Is it like a Thor, but...
Yeah. It's totally... Where is it? I'll try to find it, but basically okay. It's a giant 3-foot-long dildo on a stick... And they sent it to. They sent it to Jim Sterling, and he did a joke review.
Hmm.
I don't believe it. A giant cock. Oh my god. It's a cock and it's giant.
Yeah. It just makes you wonder. Like here's a screenshot, Fuzz. It's a picture of a woman. Wielding a baseball bat, size dildo, beating a man in a luchador mask.
Wow.
Quality American gaming right here.
Cool.
But yeah, it's all very exciting, I'm sure.
So I was talking to like two other people that like actually Tieran and somebody else were commenting on how it's really weird for me to talk about buying a video game. So I'm really thinking of picking up this new Marvel vs. Capcom, you know, for two reasons. Because we were talking last week about it. It has the Anthro Raccoon character in it, which is pretty cool. But then I was like, you know, it has all those Marvel characters. There's probably like a shitload of characters in there that I'd be interested in playing. And I played fighting games way back in the day. Like back when like Mortal Kombat 3 was new. You know, I bought that new for the Super NES. So, and it's been a long time, and I'm not skilled, I'm just a button masher, but it's just fun to watch, you know?
Yeah, and it's fun to play. You don't have to have the highest level of skill with this, but you're not, you know, you're just gonna have fun versus the AI.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a serious gamer, you know? And this would be the first game I've even picked up a controller on for like 4 or 5 years. I think I've played a couple of things on the Wii, but I haven't done that in a long time.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm thinking of picking it up for the PS3, because I think it would probably look pretty good, because it's in HD and shit, you said, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll look really nice on your TV.
Cool. That comes out Tuesday. I may pick that up. It's only, like, $40 or less, depending on where you buy it.
$40.
The other thing I was going to mention, that I just got the email from Amazon that it shipped and it will be here next Thursday, is I ordered the complete Harry Potter set on Blu-ray.
Oh, that entire... Yeah.
Yeah, all 8 movies in a set. And the thing is, it's the pre-order from Amazon is on sale. I don't know how much... I think you can get them fairly cheap elsewhere as well, but wow, that is a big rubber cock. Saverin found the picture of the thing.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay.
So that people can find this glorious piece of hardware.
But so it's $80 for the 8 movie Harry Potter collection on Blu-ray.
That's a hell of a deal.
So that's like $10 a movie, basically. That's really good. I looked at it and it's like you still get all the behind the scenes shit and everything like that. So it's not like they're stripped and it's just the films. So I was like, I may do, like, I don't know if I'd do it as a marathon. I might do it over a couple of days or something.
I say, your body is not ready for...
Well, I missed one of the movies. Like, one of the movies I didn't even see, and I didn't see 6 at all. I still haven't seen it. But I read the Wiki article about what happened, and then I went to see 7, and then 8 when 8 came out. And I understood what was going on and everything like that. But it's been so long since I've seen the first 5 that I don't really remember much about them. So it'd be kind of cool to actually go through and watch them all and watch them all in HD, and it would be really kind of sweet.
Well, going back and then watching the first one, and they're so young.
Watch them slowly age.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should do that. You guys should come over. We'll do like a Harry Potter thing or something.
Cool.
That'd be cool.
Well, I'll have to wear our capes and wizard hats. Whatever the meme is.
I'll cast level 3 eroticism.
No eroticism. Well... Not in the early movies, anyway. <That's> At least the crazy. Later ones when they're not jailbait. It's okay. And I mean the actors, not the characters. The characters are like always jailbait, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty chuffed about that. I'll be happy to get that. That's I'm gonna try not to buy too much on Blu-ray though, because we do not need to start building a massive Blu-ray library, because I've already got a huge DVD library, and I'd really prefer to start buying shit electronically or streaming, because that takes up like a lot less physical space in my apartment.
Yep.
Given that, you know, we've already got like 6 bookshelves of those little IKEA DVDs.
You've got a shitload of DVDs at your house.
You haven't even seen... Because I haven't opened the box yet, but I brought home a box from my mom's, because my sister and I split up mom's pretty sizable DVD collection between us, and then we donated a shitload of them.
Yeah.
So I brought home like another 100 DVDs.
Jeez.
Including the entire Indiana Jones set. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's something to marathon. The first 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there only is 3.
That's right. Much like there's only 3 Star Wars films.
You know, I know it's so easy to rip on the Star Wars films, because the prequels and Cam Harasaki has gone through an extensive deconstruction on Unsheathed of all the story problems in the prequels. But there are parts of them I actually kind of like watching just for the eye candy.
Oh, yeah, it's all eye candy, but...
You know, like, I can always watch a lightsaber fight, and any scene that has Obi-Wan in it and doesn't have Anakin is a good scene. You know? The whole part of the second one when Obi-Wan goes to the clone planet, mm-hmm. and he's on a mission by himself doing detective Jedi shit, you know? All that's great. I could have watched a whole movie with just Obi-Wan solving a mystery or something. That would have been fantastic. And have Ewan McGregor play him because he's such a good actor. Would have been great. But that's not what we got. But I got like 20 minutes of a good movie.
Yeah, every little bit of helps.
I'll take anything at this point.
Yep.
So what else? Oh, so well, I was going to say, what else is new? I was like, right, I'm back at work now. I'm back in the office.
Yay.
And boy, that's been hard.
I bet.
I bet after a couple months, it's just like...
It's actually, funny enough, it's not what you think. It's not the work. It's not... Because I've done a pretty good job the last 2 months. I was still... Well, I had to, because I was visiting mom in hospital or hospice or getting up and dealing with shit, family visiting. So, I mean, I was still going to bed at a regular time, getting up at a decent time, you know, sleeping a little bit. But I've kept a fairly... I've been off work for 2 months, and I kept a fairly normal schedule the whole time. So it's not that. The thing that's really depressing is I would always call mom on my way home. Like two or three times a week, I would call her on my drive home. And that first day back was really hard because I kept having that urge, you know, to pick up the phone on my drive home. And it's just going to take a long time before I stop having those thoughts. And I probably will still do it occasionally. I mean, my grandfather died 2 years ago, and my aunt was telling me she still picks up the phone sometimes and nearly calls his number. It's like, so it's little things like that. Like, it hasn't been hard getting back to work, catching up on my email, and getting back into my job. It's been hard emotionally, kind of moving on with my life now, you know?
Without all the habits that took them into as part of them.
Oh, and I said last week that I would probably have over 100 email in my work inbox when I got there. Yeah, I had 150. So I had it's funny actually. When I got to work, the office has upgraded to Windows 7 while I was out, mm-hmm. and upgraded from Office 2003 to 2010. And I had 150 email, and there's these little announcements that come out every couple weeks, every time there's like a change in procedure or something like that. So I had like 8 weeks worth of those to read and catch up on, and catching up on any changes that had gone on in email and shit like that. And a mandatory web-based training that I had to take, and then going in and doing stuff like turning off my out-of-office notifier and changing my voicemail and stuff like that. So I work from 8 to 4:30. I didn't actually open up one of my work orders till like 3:30 the first day I got back. Because the whole day I was reading email and catching up and learning how the fuck to use the new version of Word and shit like that. Because I have XP, Word XP at home, uh-huh. which is even older. So they've introduced that fucking ribbon and all this different shit. I've never used that before. So that whole first day, 90% of it was catch up on the last 2 months and learn all the new updated
where the
programs.
Where did my button for this go?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And thankfully you can add buttons to that quick launch thing at the top of Word now.
Yeah.
So like, cause I would look for like the save or the open file button and it was gone. But this is actually good training for me because Taryn and I are planning on getting new computers.
In a
few months, we're going to get Windows 7 because we want 64-bit systems. So we're going to get Win 7. And we need to upgrade the Microsoft Office suite because of the new formatting and shit. People will send us like a DocX story. And XP can't... Well, it can open it, but it'll be like there's going to be formatting things fucked up if there's anything crazy in this. We're using a 10-year-old operating system. It's time for us to update. and I want to update now before Windows 8 comes out, because Windows 8
looks kind of ass.
Yeah, I don't really like the look of it.
I haven't even seen Windows 8.
I've seen a couple preview images of it, and it's not good. It looks very dumbed down. At least Windows 7 still looks recognizably Windowy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Windows 7 is nice. I mean, yeah, it's what I've got installed in the other half of
Yeah, and I've heard good things about it. I've heard very few people complaining about it, so...
I really like it, using it.
Yeah. I noticed my work computer fucking boots up like that now. And that's not all the hardware changes, because they made hardware changes before I went away. It's just the 7 appears to be a way more efficient in how it handles the system resources that it has to work with. Yep. So that was my week, basically. It's like, yeah, I got to use Win 7 for the first time. Yeah, so that was interesting first day, but I'm already like back on track with my work orders. You know, I've only been at work for 3 days, and I'm kind of back to where I was. I was very surprised at how quickly everything kind of came back to me. Like I thought I would have forgotten all the little codes and things and how shit is and stuff like that, but surprisingly it's all come back. So hopefully I can keep my grades up at work for the last couple of months here. Get a good review next year. So, yeah, what have you guys been up to?
This week's really been not a lot. It's been classes and living life and pressing X to not die.
Your asshat professor.
Oh, God. Okay, so my angst of the week was that I'm not good at math. I mean, I'll admit that. And over the summer, I did 2 summer courses, which were really hard and heavy, 5 hours a day on this class type thing. And it was a lot of work, and it was really hard, but I passed them both with a B. And I got this new professor who I remembered after the fact was the professor, a friend of mine who attended classes alongside me with several of my other courses, had told me to avoid.
Oh,
mm-hmm. And he's Polish. He has a thick accent. He doesn't answer email, mm-hmm. doesn't show up before class, leaves immediately after class, and talks down to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's too good to teach this course.
Mm-hmm.
We started out with 25 people. As of Wednesday, there were 6 people in that class.
Wow.
And on the reason being, and like that, this last test was an absolute slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I failed the test. I don't do that. It was like demoralizing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was complicated further because the Wednesday before OklaCon was when we were supposed to get back our second test.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't there that day. And then Monday, he didn't bring the test to class. Like, he forgot them. And then Wednesday, he just sort of shoved it off, and it's like, if you want them, you can, you know, get them from the math lab, but here's your grades. But I didn't really look. So I had passed the first, but I didn't know my second, and I had failed the third
mm-hmm.
of the first three tests. So if I had failed the second test and not known it, I couldn't numerically pass the course.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, find out on Wednesday that, yeah, I did just fine. I'd miss like one question
mm-hmm.
on the second test, so I'm okay. Because if you pass, you have to pass the final to pass the course, because it's 20% of your grade.
Uh-huh.
And the finals grade will replace one of the lowest of the first three tests.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be fine, provided I pass the final and the fourth test.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like after finding out I failed on Monday this one test, I was just like in this huge funk till Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, oh my God, I don't want to have to, you know, I'll be so disappointed with myself if I fuck this up. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And don't want to be delayed any further. My God.
Well, don't ever fucking take that professor again.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, of the professors, there's the ratemyprofessor.com.
Yeah.
He's got like a 2.2
out of
5.
Mm-hmm.
So he's mediocre to suck.
Whereas all the other professors I've taken are 4s and 5s. So
right.
It's like there's good professors and there's bad professors. I just got a bad professor. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it happens.
It's fairly minor in the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
But, yep. It's, just keep on keeping on.
Yeah. What you about to shoot?
Well, luckily I'm still employed. Last week I had a bit of a scare. I was out covering one of the other positions while they were on break. We were sitting there gossiping, and she mentioned that from the other division of company, oh, X and Y just got laid off. It's like, well, that kind of sucks, but not surprising, because that office is not quite closing down, but it's combining with other divisions because that lease is up, and they were going to try and squeeze everybody into existing offices. And so they've been kind of squeezing and reorganizing that entire half of the company. So, but not terribly surprising. And because I'm out in reception, and I happen to look out our hallway door out into the hall, and I see one of our guys walking towards the elevator with an armful of stuff. And I'm like, oh shit, he just got walked. And he was a decent guy. I know he's not a fuck up. So, like, crap, this time they're hitting us with layoffs.
Right.
Well, he was the last hired, so, and he was kind of inexperienced. And, you know, he wasn't a bad guy, but okay, so they're letting the last hired go. Okay. Then I see the second person getting walked, and she's the second to last hired. Also only been with the company a couple of months. That's more concerning. There goes two. And there's not many of us. There's only 20 of us. So two people is a pretty... That's a good chunk of the workforce. Then I see who they're... The third person getting walked. And by this time, I'm getting scared because the third person they walk is one of our really, really up-to-snuff, really good developers. And she gets... She's mad. She leaves. And it's like, crap. And then... The fourth one is also a developer, and I'm looking at my coworker, and she's looking at me, and it's just pit of my stomach going, oh, crap, they've hit all the other kind of areas of the company. They haven't gotten us. There's only two of us, but shit. So we go, and we turn, and we look at our managers going, should one of us be packing our boxes? Start packing up. And he's like, I can't talk about that. And that tone, which is, yes, but I can't, it's not me to say. So basically the big boss gets done talking with the last developer, number four. And you can just feel this drum roll. It's like, okay, the axe is going to fall. The axe is going to fall. Is it going to be me or her? And obviously, because I'm not telling this in a much more bitter tone of voice, it's her. She gets walked to the office. This is the gal that got me hired there and trained me.
Oh, jeez.
Well, there's other things going on there. Good friend, not so good a coworker. So she gets the axe, gets walked out, and everybody at work is just panicking because we don't know if their number six is coming down the line.
Right.
So we all get a company meeting out of that saying, okay, that's it. There's no more. That's all. You can relax. If you're here, you're here. And all those people we left go, none of them had performance issues. It just, we had to make budget cuts. And unfortunately, due to future projects and everything else, that's who we had to cut out. So... Yeah, we went from 20 people down to 15. That's a pretty significant chunk of our workplace. So I was kind of freaking out over Twitter and such that day. The ones of us who survived all went out for a drink that evening because, holy crap, we were all stressed out of our gourds.
Understandable.
Which is really good because we needed to shed some of that. I really feel for my manager's manager. He's a very straight shooting guy. And if you screw up, he'll let you know. I mean, he's very, very stern, but not unfair. And you could just tell that he was this was killing him because he was letting good people go, you know. So I feel bad for him because it's one thing to fire someone who's not making the grade. It's another thing to have to let go valuable people who have done nothing wrong. You just can't afford to pay them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, I feel sorry for the guy. So, but I've kept my job. This is a good thing. I was scared to death that it was going to be a different story.
Yeah.
And so it's been interesting. I do tech support for the company. In beginning of October, there were three of us. One of my coworkers left to go work for one of his old jobs because they offered him a job in a different division. And he was looking to get into a different line of work away from support and more doing QA. And the other gal got let go. So now it's just me. I have no backups. I have no idea what's going to happen if I have to take a sick day or if I have to get to take vacation. I don't know what happens if I have to leave the office. You know, it's before I had two people to back me up, and now I don't know. My manager has started making noises about basically he gets to answer the phone, but he has a lot of things on his plate too.
So, yeah, that doesn't sound very good.
No. The other good thing, and this is good in my opinion, is they're merging in the IT part of our company into the software development. And this is going to translate into me actually getting to do more IT work again instead of just being a phone monkey.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe get out of this and getting more into the internal support of the company. So I can hope. I mean, I don't mind what I'm doing now, but I don't want to do it forever.
Mm.
Wouldn't mind working for this job for a very long time, just not doing particularly this.
Mm.
So yeah, so lots of panic about work. We've had a couple people move into the area recently. Been spending time helping them get situated. Introduce them around, try and kind of get them, you know, here's how you catch the bus, this is where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that place that you're talking about going to, it's not anywhere near here. That's not walking distance.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter not long ago that was like, I'm moving to the DFW area, which... He knew exactly where it was going, but I mean, when you kind of generalize when you say that, because like if you live in Carrollton, you just say to somebody not here, I'll live near Dallas, you mm-hmm. know, so they know. Well, it turns out that he's moving to somewhere like middle of nowhere, west of Fort Worth, because like a mutual friend was like, oh, well, maybe you guys can hang out. And I'm like, yeah, he's an hour and a half drive from me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen.
At least not on a regular basis.
No, no. I'll see you at Furry Fiesta, basically. You know?
Because
I just don't have... I mean, I don't have the time to go to fur meets that are right around the corner half the time, you know? Well, I'm going to read an email here because we just got one in that I found interesting. So I'd
Yay!
Like to go ahead and read that.
Emails.
So this one just arrived. It's called Conventions. Hello, this is, I guess that's USA the bunny?
Probably.
Because I see USA and I think USA. Hello, this is USA the bunny. A while ago, you had a person write in asking where he should move in the USA. He said he was thinking about moving to Boise, Idaho or somewhere else. He also wanted to move somewhere he could meet other furs and go to conventions. You said that there weren't any furry conventions in Idaho,
But there is one.
I know. There should be more punctuation.
I'm infecting you because I'm right
no,
next
no.
to you.
It's the email. There's no punctuation. There's one massive run-on here, which should clearly be either multiple sentences or something. But anyway, Idaho has a furry convention now called Fur Idaho. And they have a website at furidaho.com and a Facebook page. So I was wondering if you could give a shout-out to them. Thanks, love your podcast. Now, this was interesting to me because I was like, oh, I'm going to go check it out and see what it looks like. So sure, and get the deets on it. So sure enough, Fur, Idaho, March 23rd through 25th, 2012. And this does not clash with the other March Furry Convention, because Furry Week in Atlanta is March 5th through 11th. So it's FWA is kind of like the beginning of the month, and this one's kind of the end of the month. But what I found interesting is that one of the artists is a friend of mine. There's an artist that whose work I really enjoy, Kadath. He's the giraffe artist. Mm-hmm. Has a really cute icon of his coffee drinking giraffe. Yeah, he also draws zombies, and you know, his website's coffeegiraffe.com. You know, he did a lot of work for me back when I was doing the Furnation magazine before. Mm-hmm. I bought for Planet. Yeah, he did one of the covers for me and was in one of the galleries. Oh, and we're going to be working with him again. I've actually commissioned him to do a cover for one of our upcoming anthology projects, which is kind of cool. And I'm not familiar with the other person's art, unfortunately. But anyway, I can't like vouch for the con or anything like that because it's new. I haven't been. I don't know any of the people organizing it. But, you know, their website looks pretty slick. Yeah. You know, it's all set up and everything. So let's see what their registration is looking like, if their reg is open. Huh. Well, there's only one registration level, and it's $100. That's interesting.
That's expensive.
Well, it's interesting that it would only have one level. And they may still be putting some of this together because it doesn't list, like, what you get for that. Oh, okay. But then, that's weird. It says $100, and then you go into the next step. And three-day membership, early pricing, is only $30. And a sponsor membership is $95.
They need to update that.
Okay. So there's a little bit of confusion there. That's all right. So that's more normal for a con. I don't mean to do like a live critique on their website while I'm doing this. I'm just trying to like, I figure we'll get the details out. Whoa, the dealer's room prices are really cheap. So you pre-register and the dealer tables are $15. That's like nothing.
Well, for first year con, I mean, it looks like they're getting their stuff together, so it's...
Well, it's, I mean, a $15 dealer's table. I mean, it's an incentive for people to give a new con a shot, basically. If it's kind of, if it has a lower overhead, then, you know, you'd be more inclined as a dealer to maybe
give it a go.
Yeah. Unfortunately for me, though, it's like a 30-hour drive. So this Idaho, I mean, it's close to the Pacific Northwest. It's right up there. So if I was going to this, I'd have to fly. That's a really uncertain time of the year for me. But you know, for people up there in the Pacific Northwest kind of area, because it's like Idaho is like right next to Washington and Oregon, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
it is. Whoa, I thought my iPad was going to crash there.
That would have been interesting.
It's happened before.
It's in Idaho, so that means the people in the Northwest don't have to go to Atlanta for a convention in March.
Right. Well, this is actually kind of cool because that area now, I mean, I know it's still a few hours drive to Washington, but then they kind of got Rainforest in September is in that general tri-state kind of area. Yep. You know, it's probably a haul from Boise still, but, you know, still roughly in the area, but no, that's nice. I hadn't heard of I know it hasn't been there previously. This would be their first year, I'm pretty sure. But it's good to see another one starting up, and it seems like a good area. I don't think they have a lot of competition there. Their biggest competition, I guess, would be FC in January, but that's quite far away, even, because you just think the West, you know, you think it's all right next to each other, but yeah, they should be good there, you know. Now, if the Wyoming Furs start up a convention, then they might be a little close, but I don't think that'll be a problem. So there you go, kids. FurIdaho.com. Check it out. March, if you're in the area.
Yep.
Who wants to read next?
I'll go next.
Alrighty.
Question for podcast. Hey, gang. Long-time listener, first-time writer. I'm posing kind of a general relationship question. Basically, how to approach a guy and express my interest in him. Here's my problem. I'm interested in a guy in my student theater group. He directs and acts while I do all the set componentry and technical stuff. We both know each other and are friendly. I've been developing a crush on him for the past year and a half, ever since we worked on the same show. Coincidentally, it was about this time that he came out as gay. Of course, this was wonderful news to me, but presented some problems. I'm not out, nor do I exhibit any stereotypically gay traits.
You're in the theater group.
I'm sure that a vote were taken tomorrow, I would be the clear winner of the manliest man slash straightest dude slash most luxurious of beards. I fear that any attempt to express my interest in this guy will either not be taken seriously or cause him to be insulted, as if I'm trying to prank him or make fun of his gayness. I want to know if there's any way that I can express my feelings to him in a way that I'm taking seriously without having to out myself to any third parties. I don't know anyone in my situation that I can ask for advice, and the few people I confide in are not much help either. I feel if I had more gay traits, I could flirt normally and he would pick up pretty quick. However, I'm not about to start listening to Gaga, going to drag shows, and listening to get his attention. I understand that most people would argue such a conundrum would be solved by coming out publicly, letting the world know that I'm gay and available. As tempting as it sounds, the logical side of me knows that I would be opening a Pandora's box of home life and general social issues, which would better be dealt with when I am out of school and self-sufficient. Is it too much to ask to have a low-key relationship until I'm independent, which could be in as little as 6 months, provided I get hired right out of college? On a related note, I think you guys should be more careful on how you describe college life for gay men. Occasionally, you'll make a comment to a younger fur who is struggling in high school that they can look forward to a more open and understanding time if they go to college. Not always true. It is definitely easier for guys who conform to mainstream gay culture, think popular gay television characters, since society at large has been exposed to that culture through the media. If you don't fit into that mainstream gay culture, and I put myself in this category, things are a lot more difficult. In my experience, the campus GLBT club is a meat market for stereotypically gay men. Nothing they do interests me, and their events only seem to reinforce the negative perceptions straight people hold about gays. I know there are probably many more people like me, but like myself, they choose to remain closeted because sometimes it's easier to pretend to be straight than to be outcast from both hetero-homo cultures. By and large, I've missed out on the normal dating experiences that my mainstream gay friends enjoyed, and it has caused me a degree of sadness and regret. I've gotten a little more than a semester of college left and little to show for it romantically. If you have any suggestions on how I connect to this guy, I would be eternally grateful. Take care, a coyote from Delmarva Peninsula.
So go easy on him, Saverin, because he sounds new gay to me. But I know your sigh was like the Fennec sound for charging up.
Okay, so first of all, I'm sorry you have that much internalized homophobia left in you.
Oh, wait. No.
No, I'm serious here. Because you're coming at this with these expectations that, you know, college is, for a lot of people, the time when your people really can't act out. And it's up to other people to go in and just be normal. And by being normal, some of these people are as flaming as you say. That's how normal mode. But not everybody is going to be this flaming stereotype that you seem to present.
Some people do turn up to 11 when they get to college.
Yeah.
Nothing they do interests you? Are they... You're complaining about you're not having normal dating experiences and you you feel sadness and regret, but you're not putting yourself into a situation where you might meet people who are more in line with your more conservative ways. When I hear this mainstream gay culture, I'm like,
it's the stereotype that the mainstream has.
But that's not even the truth.
No, it's not the truth. It's the stereotype that's out there.
But
not all gay people conform to that.
Not most of them.
Not,
you know,
very few people I know
do. You know, when I'm about the straightest looking gay dude you'd ever find, I'm not effeminate. I'm actually pretty darn bearish. And I've had people compliment for that. But there's a lot more to gay culture and being gay than just being a skinny twink boy in college. And I think you're cutting yourself off from a lot of potential experiences by going, oh, well, I'm not like them. Well, that's your choice.
Here's the thing, because I kind of did the same thing. Because he's right. A lot of the college groups are very stereotypical, because the kind of people that join groups like that are generally more your turn it up to 11, really out there gays.
Yeah.
But those of us that are not flamboyant or flamey or particularly feminine aren't really that, I don't want to say open about it, because I guess I'm kind of open, but just not that overt. And it can feel a little overwhelming when, like, you know, everybody in a group like that is, like, really out there. And you're kind of like, I'm not like that at all. He needs to hang out with people more like him, basically. But
you're not going to meet, you know, there's not going to be, like, some super secret conservative gay men's. And I say conservative in terms of action, not political stance. You know, it's just a matter of, you have to go where the gays are if you want to meet them.
Yeah.
And that means that you're going to have to deal with some flamey stuff. I mean, I know I personally, I can't stand the uber flamey. I just can't. But I've seen, you know, GLBT groups from here to Washington. And yeah, there's a lot of flame people, but there's also just an even number
of dudes,
of just regular people who are gay and have all sorts of, you know, interests, the full spectrum. Because being gay is not, you know, just one thing. It comes across, you know, it comes from everywhere.
Yeah.
With a couple of exceptions, most of the people I know locally don't fit the stereotype, you know.
I mean, admittedly, this is Texas, but even then.
Well, even the folks I knew elsewhere, yeah, you know.
I'm from everywhere. And even going to furry cons, where I know gay people from all over the country and in some cases the world.
I mean, yeah.
People don't act like that. There's very few true Carson Kressleys in the world.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you come to Frey Fiesta, there's like 1,000 people there. Okay. There's maybe 25, 30 that are just the completely out there weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
And most everybody else is just your average. They're just people. And by excluding yourself from these groups, I mean, obviously I'm not at your school. I'm not at your place and time right now, but I think you're artificially excluding yourself from experiences based upon preconceived notions.
Or maybe letting a couple apples spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah. As to your theater dude, you just need to go for broke and tell him.
Yeah. If the theater guy knows anything at all about gay culture, then he will be fully aware of the existence of bears and everybody else in the gay community that is not the stereotypical gay man. So if you come out to him and ask him if he's interested, you know, I don't know him, obviously, but I'm making an assumption here. I wouldn't necessarily think that he would jump to the conclusion that you were a straight guy fucking with you. Now, I did fucking with him, excuse me. I did kind of say, dude, you're in theater. That's a stereotype, but that's actually pretty true. A lot of the people that are in theater are gay, or at least liberal and gay friendly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that you're there at all, I don't think, you know, I think that actually plays in your favor in this case. The problem with being, you know, so as far as talking to him goes, I would just go ahead and ask him. Your other problem may be, you know, a bit more difficult, because if you go seeking a relationship, you know, that does kind of open the door to having your sexuality, to being more open. And we have previously kind of advised on this show that for people's emotional stability, that I would advise people not to date somebody who was still closeted, because, and especially not closeted themselves, which he's not, so that's cool, because that's like, that's a whole kettle of drama that I wouldn't wish on anybody, you know.
Ask, don't tell the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And being in a relationship with someone where, you know, like I say, oh, you're my boyfriend, and then, but you tell your family, this is my friend, this is my roommate, this is my nobody really that important to me, but we have a relationship. It's like,
it's hard.
It's really hard for the person, for the partner who is out, to have to deal with that. Now, you don't have to be out at work and out everywhere you go and stuff like that, but in your circle of friends, like, if I wasn't out and Tieran was, and we know all the same people, and everyone thinks we're just roommates, like, and you know, and we had separate bedrooms at the apartment and all that, you know, how difficult that would be to actually pull off. Mm-hmm. Because then we'd be lying to, like, all of our friends who thought we were just roommates or both single, or I was looking for a nice girl and he was a single gay guy. You know,
it's a lot of lies to have to keep up with.
So I don't want to be two-faced and tell you, no, it's okay to do that, when I've already stated my opinion in other episodes that I wouldn't date someone that was closeted. Yeah. Just because of all those issues. So you might want to, you know, get to, you know, it's really hard to say don't date anybody until you're 25 and you've got your degree and you're out of the house, basically. But I wouldn't seriously consider a relationship until you're willing to be out. Doesn't mean you have to call up your parents and come out, but you should be out to probably your close friends.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the circle of friends that you hang out with.
And we're not trying to come down on you hard like this. We're not trying to be mean or cruel or anything like that. We're trying to tell you from our own experiences that, from what you said, and this is my opinion, you know.
Man.
This is just my opinion, bro. But, I mean, what you said just speaks to me, and I replied to it how I would, because, you know, it's just, you have to own it. This is a part of yourself, and if you want to have a real, legitimate life, you have to own up to it and be, you know, able to say, yeah, I am that guy. Yeah, I'm gay.
Deal with it.
Yeah, because it doesn't, you know, that's the thing, is that being gay doesn't make you any less of a man than a straight dude, you know? Because, you know, we have, like, I mean, we have gay servicemen, the most manly men around, you know, and gay football players.
Yeah.
You know, just people willing to, like, risk their lives, you know, it's, and gay firemen, God, so hot, but anyway.
So, do you have something for guys in uniform, folks?
So, no, I don't. Guys in a girl's uniform, that's a different story. But because I'm not into, like, the super manly types. But, you know, it sounds like it's just something that you have to get over, you know, is, I mean, and I've heard the expression internalized homophobia before. I mean, I know that sounds harsh. Saverin whipped that out, and I was like, ooh.
I don't even
but
know if I...
It's legitimate, but...
It's the... Even if you were, like, publicly say, yeah, I'm fine, I'm gay. It's the fear of, oh, but I'm not like them.
I don't know.
I'm normal. I'm not one of those flaming queers you see humping the air on Folsom Street, which they're not the mainstream either.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know if they call it homophobia so much as disliking the...
It's the flagrant. It's probably the psychological
term. I guess it's the believing the stereotype is true.
Mm.
And this is something that kind of comes with age and comes with basically knowing more gay people. It's like, I know the stereotype's not true because apart from myself, I know a shitload of gay and bi people that don't meet the queer eye for the straight guy kind of stereotypical view. And I was actually, so I tweeted back to Mark Shepard today on Twitter. Mark Shepard is a guy that played Kent in Delaware in Doctor Who, who turned out to be a gay character. And what I like about the character and the way he played it is that Canton is this FBI agent action-y character in a sci-fi show throughout the whole two-parter. And then you don't find his sexuality out until right at the end. Sorry, spoilers for season 6 for anyone who hasn't seen it. But it just goes to show you, and Captain Jack Harkness is another one, you know, he's like a bisexual action hero, basically. And I like that characters like this are starting to kind of pop up, and they're not, you know, the stereotypical characters. They're more realistic. They're more like, here's a real guy with a real job, you know, he's got his shit together, and it is more of a, yeah, he's gay, but it's not
a big deal.
It's not That's a big just part deal.
Of the character.
It's part of who he is, but it's not negatively impacting his life. You know, and another good gay character is like keeping their shit together and doing their job is totally Rainbow Dash. Because she's a lesbian and she has a job and she works for the weather. I was going to fuck with Savard.
Government.
Fuck with Savard a little bit, but no, yeah, I'm joking about that. She's a cartoon character, but you know, it's cool that those kind of characters are popping up in some media. You know, and sure, right now it's science fiction, so people can totally be like, that would never happen. But you kind of get what I'm saying. I hope that this shows up more often in film and TV.
They're
and
just dudes doing a job. No big deal.
Right. Yeah. You know, and it's not sensationalist because the media is always drawn to the most sensational thing. I mean, you know, not all furries are, you know, bumping and grinding in fursuits or, you know, wearing a thong with the bunny tail and ears, which was like the stereotype back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, but most of us are just kind of there, you know, indistinguishable from anything at a sci-fi or comic con. So,
yep.
But we have driven
this idea into the ground.
Yeah, I was going to say beating a dead horse, but I didn't want to be insulting. So,
so anyways, onward to the next email. Wow, that particular thing was long. We were almost to the 1 hour mark.
Oh God!
Well, we did chat quite a bit.
Yeah,
before.
And then again, we did beat the hell out of that.
Yeah, I hope. Please don't feel too overwhelmed by our response there, and we'll be glad to clarify if you write back in. But
okay, so this one's short.
Okay.
No, not in the mouth.
Speaking of being gay.
Hi, Noncast. I have a hang-up about kissing. I'm okay with cuddling, scritching, biting, giving oral, but kissing someone just feels wrong to me. Part of it is self-consciousness because I have ankyloglossia, which makes it impossible for me to kiss with tongue. I'm going to have to look that word up.
Yeah, please.
It basically means like a kind of shortened tongue, less mobility, and you know that web that connects your tongue to the bottom of your mouth?
It's more firmly attached.
Yeah, it's more extended, so you don't have a lot of extension of your tongue beyond your teeth.
So this could, like, fuck with your speech a little bit, right?
But that's only part of it. I was once able to kiss someone comfortably despite the handicaps, and I enjoyed the experience. As far as I can tell, my hierarchy of intimate acts places kissing at an unusually high level, so much that I've hardly ever been with anyone that it felt appropriate to kiss. This is a problem, since I'm seeing a guy who really loves to kiss me, even though he knows I don't like kissing him. It creates a vicious cycle where I don't like kissing him because I'm not crazy and... which makes him like me like him even less each time he tries to kiss me. Ooh. I have a feeling this is going to continue to be a stumbling block in future relationships, and I'd appreciate hearing what you have to say. Thanks a bunch. Resme.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but, and I may sound totally crazy here, but I actually understand this because I was like this, maybe not to this degree, when I first kind of started dating people. That, and, you know, for the longest time, like even in the open relationship thing, it was like I wouldn't kiss anybody else. Like I only wanted to kiss the person I was with, you know. And kissing seemed, it is so strange to think that kissing seemed more intimate than blowing somebody or fucking somebody. But that was just the way my brain worked. And I've kind of loosened up on that a little bit since, but I can kind of understand where he's coming from, especially if, you know, he has this condition, which, you know, he may have some self-consciousness about. So that sort of makes sense. And, you know, in saving something like a kiss, it seems like more of like an expression of love on like an everyday basis, you know, like, you know, kiss your boyfriend goodbye in the morning, that kind of thing. And I think maybe that's why I separated it out from casual fuck buddy or friend with benefits. And I would just tell the guy up front, you know, I mean, if you have and he's still trying, then he's kind of a shit. And I would say no problem with dumping him if you're not crazy in love with him anyway. You know, if this is someone that you're just fooling around with. But it kind of makes sense to me, but I'm interested in what y'all have to say.
No, I'm not super wild about kissing either. I mean, it's a little bit of paranoia. Just always afraid that it's kind of icky. I'm not really fond of kissing, especially with tongue. Regular kissing's okay, but I'm not really keen on French kissing at all. Mm.
I accidentally choked somebody to death once because I actually have a 12-inch long tongue. And it just gets out of control. No, not at all.
And just lashing out and like...
Yeah.
Hitting someone in the eye.
That's the real reason for the CPAP machine. It was accidentally wrapping around my throat and choking me in the night.
Ah. Okay. So, I'm going to be like, do you like kissing? Y'all are weird.
No, I like kissing my mate.
Yes.
I don't like kissing... No, I don't want to say random people because that makes it sound like, hey, you boy, come here. You know, suck my cock. No, I don't.
That's not kissing.
You're not going to pull a Herman Cain.
No, you're going to
kiss your partner.
No. I don't have no 999 deal. But no, yeah, I like kissing my partner. But it actually took me a while. Okay, so like my first time, my first boyfriend, like... I could envision sucking him off. Like I was all about, you know, getting on in there, basically trying out this male stuff pretty much. But I felt until I did it, the thought in my head of kissing another guy was kind of icky to me. Now, when I, you know, when we hooked up, you know, and everything went just fine and I had no problem with the kissing then. But before that, I kind of felt like kissing, you know, until I got over that hump.
I guess I'm an outlier because I've never had a problem with that.
Yeah. But people, I mean, are different.
When it comes to you, Resme, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, because
I think that's X's, how we've pronounced it before.
It's you just need to put your foot down and say, "Look, I have this issue. It's." You know, it is a problem for me. I would appreciate it if you would respect my boundaries. I mean, if you obviously are like, you know, every time he does it makes me like I'm less. And when you say in future relationships, so you're probably like not looking to keep this dude around. You know, just you need to put that down as a ground rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people they you don't kiss. That's your thing. Okay, you just need to let them know. And, I mean, worst case, there actually is surgery to fix the issue that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to say, quick, go get yourself, you know, cut.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that according to the Wikipedia article, because I did have to look it up. You know, there are ways to treat this, and it's normally treated in children.
Mm-hmm.
So
might be one of those things that most of the time get done early so that you heal, and then you've forgotten about it by the time you're an adult.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Interesting. Well, I hope some of that helps.
Yep. Okay. So we should probably take a break, stop and save, because we're just past the 1 hour mark.
Okay.
And then we're going to play a song. This week's song is titled Dovahkiin. It is it's an OC remix from Skyrim that was posted today on OC Remix.
That was fucking fast. Didn't it come out today?
Yeah, it was one of those that came out that the guy had like working on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he just dropped it today. It's by Brandon Strader. Song is pretty darn cool. We'll be right back. go.
His Miracle Massager Stroker Kit.
Woo!
Woo! So, I'm going to talk about this week's item from AdamEve.com. Is actually a new item to them. I do want to... Normally, our coupon code KNOT, K-N-O-T, takes off 50%, which you can do for most items in the store. This one only takes off 10% because it's a brand new item. But this almost, like, Borg-like looking fucking contraption looks pretty amazing. So... See that, Shiva?
I just can't appreciate that.
You put your dick in there.
Yes, I do, huh?
But checkouts are Herms.
Okay.
You know? So it's hard to describe, honestly. It's like this silicone rubber sleeve that goes over your cock, and it has... Okay, so surround your cock with powerful throbbing vibrations. And it has two different speeds, and you can move it around different angles to find the angle that works best for you. It just looks neat. It's like, let me stick in this my dick in this thing. Brrr, you know, it looks really cool. It just caught my eye because I was like, that looks neat. But that's $64.95. Our coupon code takes off 10%, and you still get the other freebies with the coupon code. So that's free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a mystery gift. Did I forget anything? I feel like I forgot something. I'm so amazed at this thing. It's ribbed for extra stimulation.
You're making me jealous. I don't have a cock.
Sleeve slides easily and firmly.
Something other than an imaginary one.
It plugs directly into an electrical outlet. No batteries needed. Immerse your cock in powerful vibrations. That just sounds like fun. You know, it sounds like a little whirlpool massage
for your
dick. You know?
Dick.
Yeah. But and it's a pity they don't show any pictures in use. But I may actually have to order one of these and be like, yeah.
Oh, honey.
It worked pretty well.
Like, you leave it lying on the. You leave it lying on your bed. Terry comes and goes. What the hell is it? It's got. What am I supposed to do with this? Is this to fix plumbing?
I swear to God, it looks like something like a Borg would attach to your dick or something like that. You know, resistance to coming is futile. You know, you will come. See, Severn, that's it there.
Good God.
It's interesting looking.
Very strange.
I know. I just thought it was cool. So let me say the name again so you guys know. His Miracle Massager Stroker Kit. It's like, why get your arm all tired? You know? Let a machine do the vibrating for you.
For the laziest masturbators.
Well, if you don't have someone else to do it for you, which everyone should have. So, we should read an email.
Yes.
Is it my turn? Or?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I want... Okay. What's this? All right. Fuck it. We'll just do the next one on the list.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. Yes. Overthinking a situation. Dear Notcast... I will ask that I remain anonymous for this email since I don't know if the person I'm writing about listens to your show or not. Though it'll be all for naught if he does since he'd be able to pick out the pieces of our situation.
Gone.
Man, I've had trouble sleeping lately. I have a crush on this guy. Let's call him Joe. Joe works up north in the logging camps, working for 10 days straight, then he is given a 4-day weekend. In the 4-day weekend, I usually drive about 3 hours to go visit him for the weekend. I have quite strong feelings for Joe, and he's told me he feels the same, but he isn't ready for commitment. He just got out of a relationship that lasted 3 years, and I don't know the details of the breakup. He expressed his willingness to tell me, but I've never gotten around to asking. He works with his ex at the same logging camp, though, and they seem to be good friends. The only problem is that when Joe goes to work up in the camps, he seems unusually distant. His mood seemed to vary from overly affectionate, friendly, or stressed and angry. For a while, it felt like he was trying to push me away because he didn't want a relationship. And when I brought this up with him, he said that wasn't the case. Though this continues. When I go to visit him on his weekends off, he tends to show a little more interest in me, having me sleep in the same bed, cuddling up to me, and watching a movie. But I still feel as though he's forcing himself to do this for my happiness. I think I may be overanalyzing the situation, and I'm afraid this is going to push him away from me. So my question is, how do I get over this constant worry that I'm having? Any advice given would be greatly appreciated. Anonymous. So?
So, what was... I wonder what they mean by overly affectionate, friendly, or stressed and angry. Distant, but overly affectionate and friendly? I don't know.
I don't think at the same time.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think the key point to this email is the fact that he just got out of a relationship that lasted 3 years, and you don't know the details of the breakup. He may not feel ready to just go from his ex to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a transition time, but where, you know, you have a breakup before you can really feel like you can move on to somebody else. And it could be that, you know, he is doing it for your happiness. You know, he likes you, or else he would be like, dude, just stay, you know, don't come up to my cabin or whatever. I mean, if he probably does like you, but there's probably he's going through a transition time where he wants companionship, but then he also simultaneously doesn't want it. So he's like trying to put on the affectations that, and he's affectionate towards you because he wants to do that, but also is struggling with feelings for his ex and the whole breakup deal. That's just my conjecture. I mean, I could be wrong.
I know people who have, when they do this, when they go and they do a job for X number of days, and especially if they go and they do that elsewhere, they kind of have two modes. They have basically their home game and their away game. Basically, when they are off doing whatever job, whether it's in the military or, in this case, logging camp, or there's a number of other careers, like some of the pipeline workers, where they'll go, they'll be away from home for however many days out of a stint, and then come home and have a long week. And kind of when they're off in that distant job site, that's kind of their world. That's where they are. That's kind of where they're thoughts are centered. They don't really always tend to think a lot about basically the other place. And I know have known people that when they come back, they basically kind of shift gears, and then they're home and they don't really want to think and deal about, you know, their work the rest of the week. Basically, they got kind of two gears and they shift between the two. But when they shift, that's kind of where they're all in, you know. They're either away and they're in that world, or they're home and they're in this world, and they don't really want to mix and match the two. And I've heard that from either they don't want to dwell on what they're missing, or it's kind of living in a more here and now type situation, rather than thinking, oh, damn, I'm far away from, you know, home and everything else. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It could be that situation, too.
Yeah, that makes sense. You want to take next one?
Okay. Let's see. Oh, God, this one. let's see. Oh, my God. Really, really, really do not want. Hello, Notcasters and such. I saw the topic of this week's show and was immediately reminded of this one horror story. I've got lots of turnoffs, like I'm sure everyone does. But I've only ever found myself face-to-face with them once, a couple years ago when I was with someone I would like to call my evil ex. I think it's Fuzz who occasionally said that incest is only hot when it's someone else's family. Well, a couple years ago, my 18-year-old brother was spending a week hanging out at my place with my evil ex and I one night, and my ex tells me, "You know, I think it would be hot to have a threesome with you and your brother." I don't think I've ever hit do not want mode faster in my life. I think I might actually have jumped out of the bed in a combination of horror and shock. I wish I could say he was only joking, but alas, he was quite serious and actually said I was overreacting. Now, I will admit I'm one of those people who find the fantasy of incest somewhat appealing under certain circumstances, And it's definitely cropped up in more than one of my favorite picks or stories or comics. But it's also one of those fantasies that I have no wish to ever, ever, ever cross into reality. I also wish I could say it stopped there, but the rest of the visit, my ex proceeded to hit on my brother, making lots of really overtly sexual comments and asking him a lot of really inappropriate questions about his sexuality that I could tell at times were making the poor guy feel awkward and uncomfortable. Yeah, let's just say that he's my ex and he's classified under evil for a reason. Many reasons, actually. And both I and my brother are happier for it. Looking forward to hearing what other people have to say. I think this is a fascinating topic. And I just hope not everyone's tales are as traumatizing as mine. Your loyal kitty listener from way up northern Alberta, Cybernet.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I actually forgot until just now that we actually had a topic for this week.
Yeah, we did have a topic. It was like going from zero to, oh my god, no.
Or, you know, yet do not want.
Full body shudder mode.
What made you think of this? There had to have been something that made you think of this topic.
I just asked in the Notcast IRC. IRC.anthrochat.net /notcast. Have a registered nick. You can't get in.
Operators are standing by.
Call now. There's still people that chat. It's active in the evenings.
Cool.
I mean, it's been going for 3 goddamn years at this point.
Cool.
It still has a steady, like, 20 people in it at all times. Just, it's quiet. Yeah, it was just, I said, okay, guys, first person to give me a good topic. I'm like, someone tossed it out. I'm like, there we go. We got a topic.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Awesome.
That's because they had stumbled across something on FA. We're still doing the shitter themselves.
For me, I mean, when it comes to the top, that particular topic, sounding. I think it was a conversation with Panther once, and he mentioned that that was a thing, and not, it just, I full body shudder, you know. Hug yourself and go, no, no, no.
Did you turn inside out going,
Not quite, but yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to think of something parody.
Maximum turn-off.
The sounding of silence. Oh. Simon and Garfunkel are like looming over you, very scary looking.
Or the silence have, you know, horrible penises that take people... shoving a sonic screwdriver into.
Oh, God. You're going to vomit all over my iPad.
Cyberman vomit. God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty evil ex. He sounds like a douche. You're probably better off without him.
He does sound like a douche.
Yeah. Take it away, Severin, to somewhere else.
Yay, next email.
Please.
Hello, Notcast. First off, I just thought I'd say thanks so much for reading my email on the air. It definitely made my night. It felt awesome to have my favorite podcast involve me more personally, and special even more so since I did end up doing the Wall of Text thing and you guys read it anyways. I apologize for that. I was hoping to give you guys more of a feel of what's going on and how it came about. Next time I write in, including this time, I'll keep it much shorter. Me and my friend had a listen, and we definitely took your words into consideration. We laughed and got a more solid side of what our relationship was at the moment, and where it may be going, and where we want it to. We decided to be more about the education for me than the relationship, at least until things get settled much later down the road, not just jump into a relationship right off the bat when they pick me up at the airport. I feel more confident that our relationship will be going a more sensible right away, and even through Skype gives it a deeper connection than just text on a screen. It doesn't replace real-life interaction than relationships need. If you guys would like more information regarding our plans, as parents or us, I'd be more than happy to send you something that you don't have to necessarily read on the air if it gets too lengthy to give you a better picture. Thanks for your words and time, and Nightwolf the Kyan Blade Master. This email right here is actually pretty cool. I'm glad you wrote back in, and hopefully what we said to help you out. We got emails from both sides of this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's this email, and then the next email was sent by... the other guy in this particular thing. So that's really cool. So we're just gonna go on read the next one and then we'll
chit chat.
I was very happy about that.
Yes. So you can read the next one, Fuzz, and sort of by their powers combined, here's the...
Which one is it? The other end of the Illinois-Washington roommate topic.
Indeed.
Howdy. My name is Canalzas, but Kona will do if that's too complicated for you. It is. Thank you. So you have already heard from Nightwolf's side of the topic on episode 158, Candy Overdose. I've listened to a couple of podcasts, but he wanted me to listen to this one in particular. It's neat that you guys had read his email of the topic and gave your opinions about it. I'd like to try to tie up the loose ends of what is going on. Yes, we are RuneScape buddies. As we have talked more and more like we are best friends, I've heard about his current situation going on in Illinois. His ex-boyfriend, as he makes out to be, sounds like a total douche and quite the jealous type. So since they broke up, Nightwolf has been explaining the tough times going on there, having to listen to his ex whine, trying to win him back, then developing into just constant hate towards him. I was feeling terribly awful of the situation and wanted to help him out with this outcome. So I built up my courage to explain to my parents what was going on. To my surprise, my mother was okay with the idea, seeing that he has hit the bottom of the well, so to speak, and wants to improve his life. He wants to get out of minimum wage work, get a better education, and just have a better life. However, he's in the middle of bumfuck Egypt, where there's no opportunities there besides a few factory works. My father had to think about it some because he decided to agree on having a roof over Wolf's head at our place. Why my parents were okay on the idea, I'm not 100% sure, but I think the reason is that they want me to also have that same route, but I am not quite motivated to doing so. What I think they are doing is trying to have him move up here to help me get motivated or light a fire under my ass, so to speak. Wolf and I, we get along very well, so perhaps this move is exactly what's needed to get me out of this birdcage. As for relation terms, as we have talked more and more, we have bonded. We both relate in many things that we enjoy. We are constantly talking to each other. I even reached 50 or 100 texts in my Verizon bill for the month. That's mostly talking to him. In a way, I really am interested in him, but my take on it is to not have that as a priority. Education is for a better life. If, and more than likely will, get into a relation, it would not be immediate. Having him move up here and starting off pretty much a new life is going to be a dramatic change for him. The last thing he needs is mingling with me during that time. I've just watched Deep Space Nine's finale recently. So when I see mingling, I think of the changelings joining the Great Link and molding their goo together.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the segue there. I'll continue on now. I feel he will need his space for at least a couple months before we get into dating situation. Good advice. So my questions are, 1, I have feelings for him, but when is it too early to get with him? I don't want to end up sending him back to pretty much nothing but factory work and minimum wage jobs. To me, that's like determining the fate of how someone should live, and that'd crush my feelings mentality into what I normally am. 2, is there any way to make this work better for the both of us? Mine being motivated and moving on with life, and him giving him the opportunity of a life. Thanks for having his email up on the podcast. It's great to get an ear from others of the topic. Thanks again, Kona. So, 7. What do you think?
I think that it's a very interesting twist. I think your parents are being pretty cool about this.
Yes.
Feelings for him too early to get with him? Really? Just... I'd say get your shit settled and figure out how you're going to interact real life. Because, as we've said many times, many places, internet isn't real life and you're going to have differences... regardless of how in tune you may think you are, you're going to have to get to know each other in real life. And you're going to be living with each other. So I think if you jump right away and then it turns out you're not really that compatible, you should still be able to stay friends.
Right.
So you're not ending up with a get out and go back to wherever. Is there any way to help make this work better for you? I mean, you're both pretty young, as far as I know. And basically just find a goal and stick to it. You know, make a long-term plan. Say, you know, he's going to finish school. You're going to finish school. Beyond that, you have your jobs. You get yourself an apartment.
Mm.
Get yourself, you know, save up. And eventually, you know, plan for a house. You know, Panther and I are to that point in our lives where we're actually starting to look at a house, looking at getting a house. But then again, we've been together for a long time. So what you should do is, you know, if you really want to try to nail down a timeline that is fuzzy, you don't have to, you know, follow it to the letter. Oh my God, we haven't acquired an apartment by this date. We must commit harakiri. Our honor has been besmirched.
Chloe, there's no time.
Exactly. but, you know, try to make yourself a 5-year plan. Say, you know, look, you know, we're going to go to school. We're going to really bust our asses and get good grades.
Mm.
And, you know, maintain a friendship, do a casual relationship. But, I mean, you're living under the same roof. I mean, that's, I don't know how your parents are going to be cool with that.
Yeah. Well, that's something else I have to work out. I'm actually concerned about one minor thing here, is that the line here that says, to me, that's like determining the fate of how someone should live, and that would crush him if that doesn't work out. I don't want... I'm going to advise that you not make Nightwolf's success or otherwise in his life something that is like, it should matter to you, sure. He's a friend. He's someone you're interested in. You're helping him out. That's great. But if this doesn't work out, don't let that fucking completely destroy you emotionally or anything like that. Don't hinge your own happiness 100% to somebody else's wagon. Because, you know, you are helping someone out, and that's great. And that's cool of your family to help out like that. But you also do have to make sure to cover your own bases as well. And, yeah, maybe this will give you the kick in the ass that you need to kind of get going here, and that's great. But, you know, you're part of my concern is the reality of the situation is that we're living in troubling times for the economy in this country. You want to keep him out of factory work and minimum wage jobs, but for a lot of folks right now, that's all that's available, and even then, they're lucky to get that. Because we have so many people unemployed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And factory work is often not minimum wage. It's hard, but it's often, you know, a living wage. And a lot of factory work type professions have unions that have made sure that they're covered as far as, like, benefits and a decent pay package and shit like mm-hmm. that. You know, you could work at a factory your whole life. You know, and if you make ends meet, live a pretty good life, and then retire, that's not a life wasted or anything like that, you know. So, I guess I'm just like, don't, you know, shoot for getting, you know, a little better than you are and for being happy, but don't, like, shoot for the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just my 2 cents on that. But.
I think you said it pretty well.
Okay.
All right, my turn.
Yeah.
Okay, title, What Do I Do? Hello there, Notcast. I have a dilemma for you. I have a girl that likes me, and I'm kind of interested in her. She is my type, and we share a lot in common. But there are two catches. One, I just broke up with my ex-boyfriend 2 years ago, not long ago. I'm bi. I'm emotionally over him. I found out he often lied to me and was planning to cheat on me. I've told myself that not being with him is better than staying, and I deserve better. But I still miss the feeling of having someone that is close to me like that. I don't want this to be a rebound date. Two, the biggest problem is that she's a coworker. That's what worries me the most. I am well aware of the dangers of dating a coworker. Should I just try to be friends with her, and when I find a new job, maybe consider dating? I'm looking for another job right now, irregardless of what happens, so it wouldn't be for her. Should I just tell her no and leave it at that? What should I do? I understand that it will be awkward. I'm no stranger to awkward. I once flirted with someone to find out that they might be my cousin, but that's a different story. I really don't want to stir shit up at work and cause drama. What do I do? Help not cast. From your Canadian Fox, Istas Fox. Number one, you're aware that this of a potential rebound that kind of helps right then and there. And kind of missing someone and just wanting to fill that gap can make it a rebound, but I've also seen that it works out just fine. To a coworker, I've worked fine with other halves, and I've had it be disastrous when you break up and still working. However, with you already hunting for a new job, I wouldn't worry about this too bad, and I wouldn't let that hang you up. If you're already planning on leaving, well, you're already planning on leaving. It won't be a matter of situation of coworker for, I hope, very long, because you'll find something. I wouldn't let that hinder you, at least in this case. Not since you're already making plans. But that's me.
Yeah, the only thing that can... The coworker thing doesn't concern me for the same reasons that Shiva just said. You know, the only thing that concerns me is that if you were in a... You know, 2 years is quite a long period of time still. And if you just broke up with your ex-boyfriend... You know, kind of by definition, the next person you date is going to be a rebound. So if this just happened, you might want to wait a little while and make sure that you're, you know, pretty emotionally settled, I guess. Although, you know, like I said, you know, she's interested in you. It might be worth pursuing. Just kind of be careful, you know, and... I guess stop and think when you have reactions, if you overreact to something and realize that, oh, this might be the rebound and the recent emotional turmoil kind of influencing my reactions here. Let me take a step back and kind of chill out for a moment. You know, if you guys have like an argument or something like that.
But... Maybe just go and have a couple of trial dates.
Yeah.
Test the water. See if you guys get along outside of work. Don't call it boyfriend, girlfriend, or girlfriend, girlfriend, or I don't know what sex you are, but just go out and do you enjoy movies, dinner, going out and hanging out? You know, take it beyond that and see how you guys fly.
Yeah, start slow. It's probably a good idea. So, Savern?
That's pretty much it. I mean, there's only so much we can say on this particular topic, and we kind of hit on it. You know, rebounds... suck and they hurt both parties involved, so you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yo.
Right. You know, I should have just said that. Struck a gangsta pose and then stormed out. Knocked over my microphone.
We done here.
Right. Then Panther comes storming back and beats you with the broken pieces.
No. Don't do that. All right, so final email of the night.
Yeah, you can have this one. I couldn't do it justice. I'm not that angry.
My cockatiel pooped on my head.
Shit, it did. Son.
But anyway, sup my furry bitches. Angel the dragon from Portugal here to lay down the motherfucking law. I haven't ridden you in a while. My condolences to Fuzz. At least he got a good circle of friends and a loving mate to deal with those tough times.
Word!
Things have turned me off. So what I like is crap. At a wedding, a cousin of mine started talking about some bullshit, saying I had a bad taste in music and TV. So what the fuck if I like Glee and the Backstreet Boys?
I pity the fool, don't I know Justin Timberlake?
Those two should totally do a crossover. Who do you think you are telling me that I shouldn't like? And then he told me about this site, LemonParty.com. Yeah, asshole. You say Glee is rude of music? Bitch, I'll ruin your ass by shoving my foot up it. Smokes a sticky and comes back. I'm good. Anyways, that was my rant. Hope I didn't fuck up too much. Remember, English is my main language. It's jive. Hope my word good did. Hope you read this on the show, Angel. P.S. I went to Cuba on holiday and blew a donkey. Peace out.
Was this written to us from Wolverine?
I have no idea.
Wow,
that's a hell of an email.
Good job, dude.
It's like I scan. It's like I'm going to take the next one. The guys can decide if they want to read that. I couldn't do it.
Okay, so yeah, if you like shows or like music that people don't like and they give you shit for it, just tell them to fuck off. Your tastes are your own. You don't have to conform, man. Don't be a conformist.
But also, don't be a hipster.
Yeah, if you're one of those people,
don't go too far in the other direction. Hit that happy medium.
Yeah,
somewhere between conformist and hipster is a normal person.
You know. If you ever feel that a show's too popular so you can't like it, you should shove your head in a wood chipper. That's just my opinion. So, anyways, hey, next show is going to be number 160.
Wow. That anniversary means nothing.
It doesn't. Yeah. It means we've done this show for 160 episodes.
You know,
which actually is quite a lot when you think about
it. Hold on. There's episodes, of course, I missed because I started later in the season. Then there's one that Fuzz has missed off and on. I don't think Saverin has ever actually missed any episodes.
I have never missed a single episode of Notcast.
Because it's almost physically impossible. Because we record in your living room.
That's very true.
Well, Panther could have set it up and, like, let it get going.
And I could have, you know, slept and... the bedroom.
The only ones you're not on are the Presents episodes and the Not Sheathed episodes that I did at cons.
Yeah, well, that's a little different. I meant the ones just our standard episodic ones.
Right. Jeez, I have recording equipment at home, so like if Saverin's ever like, I'm sick, I'm not feeling up to doing this show, I'll be like, all right, fuck you bitches, and then I'll just call him Shiva. Well, if people come over to my apartment, we'll do it there.
Pools closed, bitches.
Yes, 160 episodes. Well, of 59 of Saverin, at least. With other assorted people that...
Are we going to kill him before next week?
I would hope not. I have some big plans for the new year.
Oh, yes, that's true. You do.
I mean, I'm going to see both sides of the country, possibly, in January, so...
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Do you know that you can fly to New York City for $222 round trip through fucking Southwest?
That's nice.
I'm looking up fares because I'm going to have to like buy the tickets and get reimbursed.
Now remember, Southwest is the airline that kicked Kevin Smith off, so you have to buy two tickets.
Well, see, that's the thing, is if I pick one of like the fucking terrible, you know, 6:10 in the fucking morning...
There won't be anybody else.
Nobody else on the plane.
Right.
And it's like fucking god-awful 8 hours of travel time. Which, I mean, considering that, you know, I'm not driving for 30 hours.
It's not bad.
Does that connect anywhere then, or is it direct?
Like, yeah, there's one of these. It's like two stops, there's two stops, no plane change. But it's 6.5 hours of flight time. There's one of these that's like two stops where you leave Dallas, makes a stop, and then you arrive in Baltimore, and it's at 5, and then you change planes and get back on at 7 and fly the rest of the way to LaGuardia. There's like a 2-hour
LaGuardia.
LaGuardia. But yeah, I gotta talk with my contacts and shit up there to verify stuff. But hey, it's... I did not know that you could travel that inexpensively if you're willing to put yourself through some shit.
They have deals for, like, the major cities like that because they want you to go to New York as, like, a travel tourist destination. And
hey,
shit
sure,
like
I
want
to go to New York as a travel tourist destination. So, I mean, I'm planning.
It's a neat city. It's a really, really neat city.
It's like fly back on the Monday. So I have, like, there over the weekend, but I fly back in the morning on Monday.
You should totally actually just stay a couple of days if you can afford to hit a hotel for a couple of nights and actually see some sights. Because, you know, if you're there for a function over that weekend, you're not going to have time to do anything. It's like when I go to a con in a city, you know, it's like, yay, I've been to Chicago. I've seen three
nothing.
Hotels in the Chicago area and the airport. That's it. You know,
I mean,
so
this,
I can't say I've visited
in
Chicago.
In the middle of Manhattan. So I would... Definitely want to see some stuff and hopefully not get, you know, killed. Lol.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
You'll have to power up your personal shield generator. You know.
Yeah, and so only if people stab me really slowly will it go through.
What? Is that from Futurama?
Dune.
Oh, okay.
See, Panther would appreciate that, but he's not here right now.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's Dune. I don't like Frank Herbert. Anyways, hey, so that's
we should wrap up the show.
We have some Marvel vs. Capcom 3 to play. Okay. So, on that note, good night.
And big balls.